God, I'm still counting my blessings.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another very special fall, my favorite season of Ignite Radio Live.
You are with Greg and Stephanie Schleter over the five mighty stations of Annunciation Radio, and we have a very special guest, who we will introduce in a moment. But we invite you to go more deeply into this great adventure of marriage and family by going to, let's proclaim it, Greg,
I love my family.us.
And there you will find various tools to help you foster that conversation and prayer in your marriages and families, small groups, parish communities. Make the time. Go there. You will be blessed.
Amen. And folks, we already want to cue you up, as we have been over the last weeks, to an event taking place on November 4th. Mark your calendars, November 4th. It's a Saturday. We're calling it Sanctus, Eucharistic Family Revival. We are so blessed to have the Friars of the Renewal. They're amazing. They're powerful. They're authentic. They speak the word. They're just real. And they're going to be with us at Lourdes University here, and just for a great day. So where can you sign up? I know you're asking yourself that question right now. Where can I sign up, Greg? Wonderful. Best place is CatholicRevival.us. CatholicRevival.us. You can click right into there. And a little bit of an insider to you, since you're our best friends here. We're sharing this with you, this insider information. For a short time, there's a 15% discount. And if you click in right now, it'll populate that code for you right now. So probably about 500-600 people we're expecting. We'd love you and your family to join us for this day. Breakouts for men, women, families, children. There's childcare is involved. It's going to fill quickly. So again, CatholicRevival.us, a great day. Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival. Join us. Amazing. With no further ado, we want to get to this, because last week, as I run, sometimes I will choose my absolute favorite podcast. And I'm going to say sometimes it is Joe Rogan. You know, I got to put up with a little bit of profanity, but he does, you know, give us a portrait of culture, some of the best influencers on the planet, and gives us insight. And we got to be praying for him and the Elon Musks of the world, who are highly positioned, because I think there's an anointing that cannot be avoided of the Spirit in their lives, of truth. So Joe Rogan is one of them. I definitely will listen to him. My son, Dominic, who's got a top podcast higher than ESPN. So I do love to listen to his stories. He's journeying to complete the marathon, first time ever, and break a great time with one of the top coaches on the planet. So Running Effect is another one. But I'm going to say, truly, if I want to be edified in heart, mind, body, soul, and have a perspective of what's happening today, I tune into Fire on the Earth with none other than Peter Herbeck. And last week, every day, it's 15 minutes. You can get it online. Check it out, Fire on the Earth. It'll take you there. Peter can maybe get us there more directly here. But last week, he took up prophecies, modern-day prophecies. You might say, what is heaven saying to us? We're not talking public revelation, scripture, or catechism and such, but God, as he speaks of Amos and 1 Thessalonians, God equips his people with prophecy, and those attuned to the heart of God are speaking truth to us that resonate with things happening today communicated years ago. We're going to get to that in just a second. Before we do, welcome to Ignite Radio Live, Peter Herbeck. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you. It's good to be with you guys. The event that you were talking about earlier for family and Eucharist, God bless you for doing that. If I was around, we had the time, we were in town, I'd come to it, because the battle is really the center of the cosmic battle is with the family. Mm. And that's where it's happening.
100%.
That's why we see the deconstruction of the family. That's why we see the deconstruction of human identity. What's a man? What's a woman? The big fight's right there, because, as you guys know so well, Image Trinity, the family is the image of, right, the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And this is the devil's after eternal souls. He's after human beings. That's the big battle on the earth. That's
sure
the
is.
Big issue on the earth. The kingdoms are battling for it. And so everything we can do, as Our Lady said, to fight for family, we're going to get resistance, but it is the key thing, the key place. So I want to honor you guys for your clarity and passion and commitment. Mm-hmm. And of course, the beauty of your own family and how you've said yes to Jesus and the amazing little family of disciples that you've raised up. It's wonderful to see
always under construction,
all
Peter.
The things they're doing. Yeah, all the things that they're doing, it's great.
I loved your interview, by the way, with your daughter, and I'm already going to have to pull myself back here because we can off-road in so many directions, but I was delighted to hear your week interview with your daughter and just the, you know, the fruit of your and Deb's work in your own home.
Yeah, shout out to the beautiful Deb Herbeck right now. Woohoo!
100%. So, Peter, before we dive in and get into some serious things that really shine a light, this past Monday, the gospel is all about things in darkness will be revealed in light, and this is true. We cannot avoid it, and we're gonna open up that door. We're gonna shine a bright light on the stage. We're gonna particularly talk about the fundamental gift of grace outpoured in all of our lives if we receive it, and that's daily prayer. So we're gonna get into that a little bit, because which of us can't stand to more fully commit ourselves to prayer and have a heart and mind of prayer? So hold on to that. Give us a portrait of the Herbeck family life this past summer. Just, you know, we're ending summer, coming into fall, leaves are starting to fall off. Beautiful metaphor of the Paschal mystery. What was your, what are some highlights of the summer?
Let's see. Well, the big one was we did our family vacation together. We've got four kids. We've got 11 grandchildren.
Beautiful.
And a few years ago, Debbie and I kind of just made a commitment to say, we want to get the whole tribe together at least once a year. And so we, you know, store a little money away in the bank to try to make it happen. We get a place big enough all of us can stay. Mm. And we were over near Lake Michigan at the end of May, actually. And it was just great. We have so much fun, you know, hiking, swimming, playing all kinds of games. It's a little bit of a madhouse in the house, but it's great. And then we, you know, each night try to have a little prayer time together and a little Bible reading with grandma and grandpa.
That is amazing.
With all the kids before they hit the sack, you know. And so we just want to help, you know, our kids who, and all four of them really are, three of them are married, and my youngest Rachel's not yet married, and but we really want to help them, and I see them really trying themselves to build a family culture and try to be good moms and dads and leading them, and they've married good spouses. So that's kind of that was the highlight of the summer. And then there's just so many grandkid things going on.
Yeah.
You know, we've got seven out of 11 grandkids right in the area here, so
what a blessing.
You know, to me, grandkids are therapy. I mean, I just, for me, it's just great. Yeah, and it's just so much fun being with them and, you know, caring for them, serving them, making meals for them, playing ball with them, going to their games, you know. Three or four of them were over just the other day. The little ones, I've given them tractor rides in my yard, and they're just going bananas. You know, they love it. And it's just fun. Families, you know, cross-generational stuff is critical. Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, you know, the kids, it's really, really important for everybody.
Amazing.
You know? And I'm very, very thankful for it, for sure.
I love that witness of just parenting is forever, right? And it takes on a different form, but what a beautiful witness to try to provide that continuing context of growing in faith and supporting each other and, you know, bringing the different avenues for the Lord to enter in as only a grandma and a grandpa can.
Amen.
The kids need the grandparents, the grandparents need the kids, the grandkids, it's all God's
intergenerational.
Plan. And you know, there's so many demands on young people's lives. They're starting their families, and so many young people are totally disconnected from their parents and the grandparents, you know, just because of the way our culture is, you know, like you move to the other side of the country, you're all by yourself. So every time you can, I just want to encourage grandparents who are listening. Your grandkids and your kids need you so much. You've got so much, you have a beautiful mission yet, you know, to fulfill by just being present, loving, serving, enjoying them.
Amen. Amen.
So
great
good,
affirmation.
So
we need to recover that gold, mine the gold all the more, because most do not inherit that vision of that interconnectivity. And this could be its own episode. We've talked about this, but let's face it, because the enemy's coming at us, he's going to introduce all kinds of debris and warts that will keep family members from wanting to connect, right? Learning to just, as it says in scripture, right? Just to bear with one another. We know each other's stuff, right? We know the proclivities, but what an occasion of iron sharpening iron. If we had that perspective that it's precisely in the rub, it's precisely in that we learn, right, to communicate well and to withhold maybe things not needed to be said, and how God, you know, beautifully shines that diamond in that respect.
Peter, I don't know if this is the best place to ask this question, but I'm going to anyway. When we were together in person the last time, you were sharing with us, reminding us of that incredible study that was done.
It was a longevity study out of Notre Dame that really punctuated of all of the influences. What remains is clearly marriage and family.
Yeah, there was a study done by Christian Smith, one of the great Christian sociologists of our time. And he and his team did the longest longitudinal study of a group of young people, about 3,000 of them, over like it looks like a 20-year period, starting in at the high school level, high school, college, post-college, you know, career, getting married, starting your family. Of those 3,000 young people, most of who I think, if I have it right, started with some sort of background, religious background, how many of them made that whole arc to the point where they're now raising their family and have a vision for raising their family in the faith and are having some success in it? And so in a nutshell, he broke the results down into four quadrants. In the top quadrant, of those who were most highly engaged and really passing it on, 82% of them shared three things in common. And I found this super encouraging. You can find it on YouTube. Christian Smith, he gave a talk just before COVID in 2019 at the end of the year at Yale, and he was talking to leaders and presenting their data. And he said this is the most significant data of any study they've ever done. Mm. Significant meaning the most compelling. And he entitled his talk, "The Parents Are the Real Pastors." The point he was trying to make was no one has more impact on the formation of the children than the parents, period. He said that blows away every other contributor to that. He's not diminishing the contributions schools make, you know, evangelists make, you know, youth ministries make, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Those are a good compliment. But he said the three things that they did were, number one, mom and dad, one thing in common was mom and dad both, you know, they internalized the faith, and Sunday was the day the family went to church, went to mass. It was something that was at the heart of their life, and it was in the heart of mom and dad. So that was number one. So just every day, so simple, right? Basically keeping the Lord's Day, you know what I mean? Holy Lord's Day. Yeah. Number two, he said that the family engaged mission outside of the normal structure of going to church, you know, like they'd go to serve at soup kitchens or, you know, whatever the family and the age of their children, they were serving and making sort of the reality of what it meant to be a disciple a habit in their life. You know what I mean? Like we serve other people for the sake of the gospel. You know, we serve the poor and other things. And the third thing he said, which was the most significant piece of data they've ever kind of seen in this area, he said was a sort of age-specific spiritual conversations in the home, mom and dad and the kids, about the person of Jesus and about faith. Any question is welcomed at any time, you know, and be able to basically be in a conversation. As I was listening to it, I thought, you know, first of all, I was super encouraged because all three of those, anybody can do these three things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We all need a little bit of help in doing them, but you don't have to be a theologian or an apologist, you know what I mean, to have impact on your children, you know?
Yes.
And the key is what you see is that what it's about is mom and dad together living in a relationship with Christ at the center of their life, actually speaking to him, praying, following him, looking for him, abiding in him, you know, and then drawing the children into the habits of their own life. Mm-hmm. And then being able to communicate with the children about natural questions that come up when you're 5, when they're 10, when they're 15, when they're 17. Those are different age groups. And, you know, sometimes they can have difficult questions that seem hard to answer. But to just be encouraged, he said that they're not looking at statistics from parental superstars in the sense of, you know, got all the training, all the formation, all that stuff. No, they're just talking about true disciples who love the Lord, love the church, are pursuing the Lord together, and they're sharing their own relationship with the Lord, with their children, and passing it on. I just found that so encouraging.
It's amazing. You know? It's amazing. So in a sense, we're front-loading this program by identifying one of the absolute key things that we can do and ought to do and examine, and that is families, bring your children together in more than just ritual, right? It's so important to pray rosaries and novenas with the grace flowing from the sacraments. Yes, yes, foundation. But what is decisive is making that time to talk and pray. Relationship at the heart of ritual. And again, we'll do a plug for our ilovemyfamily.us, our Live It Gathering Guide. I've been doing it for over 10 years and on a weekly basis and with other families. Last night, we had a number of families gathered again just to get over that hump of, I don't know how to do this. Our kids are into their phones and, you know, the week gets away from us. And most people, though, folks, we count next week here to just be an encouragement. And we're going to get into the core of this program. Do an inventory of the discretionary time you have. Invite your family members to evaluate how many hours this week, we'll just say these 5 days, do they have that is not dedicated to getting work or school done or taking somebody to soccer, eating or sleeping, whatever. How much time is left over? I can kind of guess what that's going to say. It's going to say over 25 to 30 hours a week you're going to have where you can choose to do A, B, C, or D of a choice. What if you took just one of those hours and committed yourselves together as a family to gathering to talk and pray? And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you do that regularly. You're going to experience a superpower of connectivity to one another, of apology, forgiveness, empathy, understanding, you know, accountability to grow, to be the best versions of yourselves. We've done episodes on this, but just, you know, ilovemyfamily.us is what we're all about. All right, so to prophecy. God, I'm still counting my blessings. You are listening to a very special program of Ignite Radio Live. We encourage you to check out all of our great programs at igniteradiolive.com. And please support this ministry, particularly at this time. We are so grateful for the impact that we're making together, you and I together, to touch hearts and minds, in particular in marriage and family. So when you go to igniteradiolive.com, click on that partner tab. And we do ask you to mark your calendars for November 4th, Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival, an incredible day with the Friars of the Renewal. Tickets are going to go very quickly, and for a short period of time, there is a 15% discount. So check that out at CatholicRevival.us, and you can click right into the registration area. God bless you. Now on with our program. So, Peter, I want you to be already thinking about what was going on in your life in 1976. Think about how old you were. Think about where you were at. Number one, Jimmy Carter was just elected in 1976. The movie Rocky I came out, one of my favorites. What an incredible movie.
I was 5 years old. 6 years
your,
old,
Your mom died.
Then our mother passed away, yep. So the average cost of a new house was $43,400. Average income per year was $16,000. Average monthly rent, $220. Cost of a gallon of gas, are you ready? 59 cents.
Incredible. Yeah, incredible. A lot going on that year. You had NASA unveiled the first space shuttle, the Enterprise, that year. Apple Computer was formed by Steve Jobs that year and Steve Wozniak. So I was, you know, born in 67. So this would have been, I would have been 9 years old just after my first communion, and a lot of story involved with that. Peter, where were you at in 1976?
I was a junior in high school, and I was, you know, working at a gas station on weekends, pumping gas. I was playing a lot of sports, and I was, you know, in a family of seven, most of whom had graduated and moved on. Lived a block from the Cathedral Parish in a small little town in southern Minnesota, a little farming community called New Ulm, and a little on the Catholic elementary and high school. All three of those places were a block from my house. But I, at that point in my life, I was not paying attention to my, you know, I wasn't living the life of a disciple. I was like a lot of my friends. I mean, we had to go to church on Sunday because our parents told us to go, but we were sort of checked out on the faith, and we didn't know and thanks be to God, he broke into our lives, broke into my life, my family's life, in a very deep way just a year later.
Amazing. So folks, I want to take you to the words of Father Michael Scanlon in 1976. For those who are unfamiliar with Father Michael, think of Franciscan University of Steubenville. If you've read the book, Let the Fire Fall, great, you know what I'm talking about. If not, it was a school on the decline. It was a university that was buckling under the power of woke back then, deconstructionism, mediocrity, called Catholic in name only, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, just all that you might imagine. And Father Michael, through various circumstances, Harvard law educated priest for the friar, Franciscan, called to take the helm of that university. University. And in a short form, it's a really a study in leadership. It's a study, if you read Stephen Covey or Jim Collins, you kind of see it in flesh in a book like Let the Fire Fall. He basically understood first things first, that God is real, he's alive, he's calling us to a relationship with him. And I would summarize by saying he thought if we make Christ accessible in the structure of education there on campus, they're going to encounter God. They're going to come to know God in a living, meaningful way, and it's going to be vibrant. It's going to be transformative. Now, there's a lot of aches and pains, as you might imagine, taking a helm of a place that's resistant. And so a lot of it was that Jim Collins, get the wrong people off the bus, the right people on, and do it in a loving way. But what eventually happened, many of us know Steubenville is really a center of renewal throughout the world. It's conferences, it's priests. Many people will point to Steubenville as, if you will, a place where they encountered the living God in more than just religion and ritual, but the vitality of the Holy Spirit. So that's Father Michael at the helm, transformative center of this school that otherwise would have fallen into ill repute, literally. So Father Michael, Steph, alternate these paragraphs with me. This is a prophecy. And again, Peter, if you hear his talks, Fire on the Earth last week, check it out. Peter Herbeck, Fire on the Earth. He addresses this. I want to say it was Tuesday he addressed this particular prophecy. It may have been Monday, but listen to them all. They're great. So Steph, we're going to alternate these words from Father Michael again in 1976. Son of man, do you see that city going bankrupt? Are you willing to see all your cities going bankrupt? Are you willing to see the bankruptcy of the whole economic system you rely on now so that all money is worthless and cannot support you?
Son of man, do you see the crime and lawlessness in your city streets and towns and institutions? Are you willing to see no law, no order, no protection for you except that which I myself will give you?
Son of man, do you see the country which you love, in which you are now celebrating, a country's history that you look back on with nostalgia? By the way, this was the year of the bicentennial, 1976. Are you willing to see no country to call your own except those I give you as my body? Will you let me bring you life in my body and only there?
Son of man, do you see those churches which you can go to so easily now? Are you ready to see them with bars across their doors, with doors nailed shut? Are you ready to base your life only on me and not on any particular structure? Are you ready to depend only on me and not on all the institutions of schools and parishes that you are working so hard to foster?
COVID, excuse me, did I say that aloud? Son of man, I call you to be ready for that. That is what I am telling you about. The structures are falling and changing. It is not for you to know the details now, but do not rely on them as you have been. I want you to make a deeper commitment to one another. I want you to trust one another, to build an interdependence that is based on my spirit. It is an interdependence that is no luxury. It is an absolute necessity for those who will base their lives on me, and not the structures from a pagan world. I have spoken, and it will take place. My word will go forth to my people. They may hear, and they may not, and I will respond accordingly. But this is my word.
Look about you, son of man. When you see it all shut down, when you see everything removed which has been taken for granted, and when you are prepared to live without these things, then you will know what I am making ready.
That from Father Michael Scanlon in 1976. My goodness, that long ago, forecasting a time where maybe we haven't seen the complete collapse of structures, but do we not see the lines dotting the road and leading in that direction? Have we not tasted of that? I just want to punctuate that and then unwind you, Peter, or just unleash you in your response on this. But I think the key thing just for this is, are our hearts rightly anchored? Are we rightly relying on him, radically relying on him for everything?
Yeah, no, I just listening to that again, remembering Father Mike, who got to know quite well. It was a privilege to know him. We traveled together and doing fire rallies in different parts of the world, Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, John Bertolucci, and others. And he was a kind of mentor, like he was for a lot of people. And, you know, scripture says prophecy, you know, is imperfect. We see through a glass darkly, you know, but at the same time, it says, don't despise prophecy. but test everything and cling to what is good. Part of the testing is the source, you know, like who's giving the prophecy, you know, like Father Mike's character, his holiness as a man, his total commitment to the Lord, his Franciscan lifestyle, that was just in him, deep, deep in him. And really one of the great men I've known in my life, you know. So, but yeah, I'd say there is some real, I think the Lord always gives us sneak previews of coming attractions to his people who are listening to him. You know, he speaks, he gives his secrets to the prophets, as you were, I think in Amos, you were referring to, you know, the prophet Amos said, you know, the Lord gives his secrets to the prophets to let the people of God know what's coming. Cause we're living with the Lord. We're on a journey of faith. We're on mission together. You know, every single person who's baptized into Christ, we're living in communion with the Lord, and we have a mission on the earth, and there's spiritual combat on the earth until the Lord comes again. That's the condition of a fallen world that we inhabit. And sometimes there's, you know, things are up and sometimes things are down, and we're living through, and I think what Father Mike was anticipating was a time of great spiritual battle. It's breaking forth, and I think we're living right in the middle of it, and it's going to keep intensifying. But the Lord gives us warning in love. He said, these things are coming. Prepare yourself for it. How do you prepare yourself for it? Well, you take a look at your life before the Lord. You know, am I really seeking to fulfill the first commandment, the second commandment, to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and all my strength? Is he really first in my life? Is the whole point of my life the pursuit of Christ, the King, and living under his lordship and living in communion and friendship with him and allowing him to form and shape my life so that he wants my life to be very, very fruitful in this world, you know, very fruitful, so that when I come home, when the day comes when I come home and it's not far off, he's going to be able to see the fruit. He's going to say, Father, look at the fruit that came through Peter's broken life. Look what happened, you know. And why did that happen? Because he was abiding in me. So this is really critical to the point you were saying about the starting point being prayer and union with the Lord. Like each day of our lives, Jesus said this. He said, abide in my love. First he said, as the Father loves me, think about this, the eternal Son of God, he's saying, as the Father, God the Father loves the Son, so Jesus loves us. And then in John 17, he says, as the Father loves the Son, so the Father loves us. So what we know for sure, and what was revealed, that God loves us the way God loves God. He's bringing us into the eternal love between the Father and the Son is the foundation of our life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
This is the new foundation of our life. And then he says, abide in this. Abide in this. He said, you know, because the love language of heaven is obedience. Abiding means beginning with obeying the Lord, like surrendering our hearts to him. I've come to do your will, O Lord. That's my life. But I'm a weak and broken man who's up and down and all around. I stumble. But the Lord knows that. He knows our weak love. And weak love is not false love in the eyes of God. You know, he's like, keep coming. Keep leaning into me, and then abiding in me means what? Live in daily conversation with him. You know and believe his promises. Live and, you know, sort of lean into the many, many promises of God that's in the Word of God for every one of us that we can build our entire life on. That's why the Word of God, by the way, is so important, daily reading of the Word of God. And then third, follow his leadership with passion. And you know, live out, as we were talking earlier, you're living with a person who's radically in love with you and is saving you, you know, and not only saving you and protecting you, he wants you to be amazingly fruitful. And the fruitfulness doesn't come from our own brilliance or our own great opportunities or our genes. It comes from living with the Lord, giving fruit that will last, you know, and making our lives so meaningful, you know. So everybody, even the poorest, the simplest, to the most visible person on the planet, you know, the fruits of the kingdom and a life of radical meaning. And so here this is coming out at a time when the Lord is saying, okay, you're walking into a time of great spiritual conflict. There's purification happening to the church. There's the nations are shaking in many ways. And none of those things are our foundation, right? Ultimately, our foundation is the Lord. And if, when these times come, we find out just how deeply we're living in him or not. The level of our fear, the level of our anxiety, our attachments to the world, and all these things start getting exposed because they start shaking the things we're really trusting in. You know, and so it's a great time to repent and come deeper in the Lord in prayer and following him. So.
Peter, I love when you use the phrase, and I've heard you say it many times, posture ourselves. And I mean, that's an act, right? It's a it's an active thing that we need to do to receive the Lord. So all that you just shared, you know, we need to posture ourselves to receive, to go more deeply, to allow the Lord to work. And I think we live in a culture, right, that we're, everything is so easy and comfortable. So even the thought of posturing ourselves is like too much for us often, right? And so, but yet, to, you know, like I keep picturing, don't ask me why, maybe it was the Ohio State Notre Dame game, I don't know, but like to catch the football, right? You need to be ready to catch
great
it.
Analogy.
You know, or to go to that spot on the field to be open or whatever. And but we need to not be so lazy or complacent or the Lord desires to give us so much, right? And for us to abide in him, as you just so beautifully colored for us. And but we need to do our part.
So I want to take us back, Peter, to your moments early in life when you crossed over from not praying and whatever that was to a life of vibrant prayer. And I want to do this and ask you to do this because I think many men and women listening now who've been to the retreat, the conference, heard the podcast, lack a daily encounter time with God, that moment of grace, an opportunity to, some of them, and actually maybe a step up from there, they've got their prayer books, right? They read through, and this is all good, encounter with the Word of God. But they're missing perhaps that meaningful kind of connection to really be attuned to the heart of God. And if they really were, they would not miss a day. They would not miss a day. And they'd recognize if they did miss it, almost like scaffolding or hydroplaning, the wheels spinning on the road, but not quite connecting. So I would say probably, you know, probably 90% of those that we know do not have a daily committed prayer life. So before I cue you, maybe tell us what took you there. And as you minister throughout the world, literally, what do you see as decisive for somebody to if you will, making that time? But four great quotes that struck me a few days ago. Padre Pio says, prayer is the best weapon we possess, the key that opens the heart of God. St. Teresa of Calcutta, the busier you are, the more you need prayer. St. Ignatius of Antioch says, do not be wise in words, be wise in deeds. Love without ceasing, pray without ceasing, do good without ceasing, that the Spirit of God may speak through you. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, a soul which does not practice the exercise of prayer is like a paralyzed body, which, though possessing feet and hands, makes no use of them.
I would say that, you know, growing up, you're thinking of those teen years, my junior in high school, the time period you were talking about, you know, I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of, you know, also all Catholic, pretty much all Catholic. And both in my friendship groupings and in my home, I don't recall ever having a conversation with anybody about the Lord, you know. Now, we went to church and we went to, you know, the Catholic schools. I remember after I had gotten more converted, really by God's grace, coming to see the value of what was there, the treasures that were in the church that I personally was not paying attention to. That's my own responsibility, my own fault. But years later, when so much conversion happened in our family, I have to just say this, my dad, you know, he was a old tank commander, Patton's Third Army, Battle of the Bulge. You know, he was at the liberation of Mauthausen concentration camp. He was a decorated soldier, speak fluent German, almost 2 years over there in the Bulge and all that. So, you know, he's just he was a classic man of his generation. He's part of that great generation. He was noble and, you know, fought through some very hard, some PTSD things. But I, later on, after the family got very converted, all of us did by God's grace, I asked Dad, I said, hey, Dad, you know, how come we never had any conversations in the family about the Lord? I mean, I don't remember even saying Jesus other than when we said, you know, prayer at meals, you know, like we never talked about the reality of what faith is. And I wasn't blaming him. I wasn't accusing him. And here's what his answer. You know, we had, he goes, that's what we paid the nuns for.
God, I'm still counting my blessings.
You are listening to a very special program of Ignite Radio Live. We encourage you to check out all of our great programs at igniteradiolive.com. And please support this ministry, particularly at this time. We are so grateful for the impact that we're making together, you and I together, to touch hearts and minds, in particular in marriage and family. So when you go to igniteradiolive.com, click on that partner tab. And we do ask you to mark your calendars for November 4th, Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival. An incredible day with the Friars of the Renewal. Tickets are going to go very quickly, and for a short period of time, there is a 15% discount. So check that out at CatholicRevival.us, and you can click right into the registration area. God bless you. Now on with our program.
We had a convent on the corner of our block. There were about 20 German nuns there, you know? And so the idea of and there was very much a culture of like behave and be good kind of thing, like do, instead of the idea of having a living relationship that was profoundly transformative and personal with the living God in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit was not in the conversation. And so it wasn't that people didn't on the books believe it. It wasn't awakened in people's lives in many ways. And much of the faith was like a moral striving. You know what I mean? That's what it is, moral striving. And I fail again, go to confession. Oh, I fail again, go to confession. It's good to go to confession, you know what I mean, and all that, and find the grace. But it was more on that level rather than understanding that the heart of prayer is the realization of what the Lord has communicated to us when he, first of all, what he's done in us in his passion, death, and resurrection. And he first loved us and he came to save us, you know, from the power of sin and death, the kind of things that were very much operative in my life in those days, and behaviors and attitudes that were offensive to God, and hardly even realized that I didn't pay much attention to it.
Yeah,
you know, and but coming to know Christ the Lord, his beauty, his majesty, his power, who he is, and what the kind of relationship he's initiating with me. He's come to save us, not just big generic salvation, but every single person. And making it possible for us by his grace through the power of the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism when we become children of God, he's drawn us into family life relationship, and he's saying, I will lead you. I will help you. I will make your life what my Father designed it to be. You're beloved. You're chosen. Now come and live with me and talk with me. And so I was blessed enough when really what happened in my family was my oldest sister, who was raising her family in northern Minnesota, came to us at a very critical time. And my dad was battling alcoholism, and nothing ever worked to try to get him sober and these things. And there's a lot of discouragement. My older siblings, my brothers were out of the house, weren't really going to church anymore. And it was the 70s. And but my sister came, and she's like it's like an alien came to our house and sat down at our dining room table and said, hey, you know, I have something to share with you that's really deep in my heart. I'm up here in, you know, farming community in northern Minnesota, which we knew. And she said, I go to a Bible study every Wednesday night, a little prayer group in our parish. And that was brand new language. You know, like, what do you mean? Like,
interesting.
That was not a thing back in those days. It really wasn't in small towns. And so it was the first time anybody talked about that in our house. Now it's all normal. Bible studies are everywhere, but they weren't in those days, you know? And she said, she goes, yeah, and we pray and we worship the Lord. I said, okay, you know? And then she said, and then we pray for everyone's needs because we know the Lord hears us. And she said, we've been praying for Dad for the last number of months. And she goes, I want to tell you, the reason I came is, last Wednesday when we prayed, after we were done, one of these, a local farmer, a guy in the prayer group, came and said, Kathy, when we were praying, I felt the Holy Spirit touch my heart to come to tell you that the Lord has heard your prayers and the prayers of your family. And if your family gathers around the Lord and comes back to the Lord, he will help you out of this, you know?
Wow.
And then she said, I went to the car, my car, to get in, and another guy came and said something almost the same, you know? And she looked at us, and this never happened in our home before. She looked at us, you guys, Jesus Christ is alive, and he loves us, and he has power to help us. And most of us don't believe it.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're not practicing the faith. We're not even following him, you know? She looked right at me, you know? So when she said it, you know, and she goes, we talk like, oh, this is our cross. Dad's alcoholic. Grandpa was an alcoholic. And this is just kind of the way. She goes, no, it's not our cross. The cross of Jesus Christ will set us free if we really, truly come to him and give our family, give Dad to him. You know, it was like, and essentially what she's saying, you know, some of us need to repent, and I certainly did, you know, because this was not on my radar. And I'd say that was the first time I heard the kerygma.
Amazing. How old were you, Peter?
In my life. I was 17.
17.
And, she said the kerygma, which is Jesus Christ died and rose again. He's alive. He's begun the new creation. She didn't use that phrase, but essentially that's what she was saying, and that he's here, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was in the creed, but I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And here's Jesus saying, you know, as we come to learn, don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send my Spirit, and my Spirit will lead you. My Spirit will comfort you. He will lead you to all truth, right? He'll advocate for you. He'll give you power, you know, to do what the Father's called you to do. Well, honestly, that was just nowhere on my radar until I experienced this repentance and conversion. And then a longing started growing in my heart. And I just wanted to find people who could tell me and help me, you know, and thank God for people. First place I went was a group like my sister was in my hometown, New Ulm. And it was like, there were like, I don't know, 50 people in it. It was like 48 middle-aged women. And I was 17. God bless the women who hunger for the Lord. But anyway, I went there, and I was so hungry, and I was the only teenage boy there.
That's so
and,
good.
And there were a couple men, and they talked about how important prayer was, how important the Bible is. You know, so I got myself a Bible, and I started reading the Bible. And they said, you're not going to grow, really, and you're not going to fulfill God's mission if you're not living in the Word of God. If you're not, that's a normal part of your life, because that's the content of the conversation with the Lord. That's God speaking to us, and that's the offensive weapon the Lord wants you to yield. And so, of course, the saints tell us ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, because it's Christ speaking to us in his Word. And I was ignorant of Christ. I never read the Bible when I was young, you know. I just, none of my friends did either. We didn't even know we were missing anything, you know? You know, it was just kind of like, it was a different normality. It was the wrong norm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just normal for, you know, athletic guys who, you know, partied and did all this stuff, to just not pay much attention to the religious thing. That'll come later in life when you have to, kind of thing.
Wow.
That's just sort of how it was. And, but we didn't know that I started evangelizing my friends, and some of them said, you're kooky, I don't like you anymore.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest.
You're awesome. I said, I don't care. I mean, just some started to grow. So that's kind of where it began. And then I'm thankful that people, I started reading Ralph Martin's stuff. I stumbled onto that. And I remember him saying one of the most important decisions of his life was, he was sitting in his apartment after he himself had kind of been awakened to faith as a university student, post-university. He was already moving here to Ann Arbor, and he was doing outreach, and he said the Lord told him, you know, in his heart, you know, he felt the Holy Spirit told him, said, Ralph, you need to make prayer the foundation of your whole life.
Yes.
You need to talk to me every day. You need to come to me and rely on me every day, and I'll help you, you know? And he'll say to this day, he's 80 years old now, and, he'll say, I said yes to it, and it was one of the most important decisions I've ever made. You know,
it really is
because we live with the Lord and from the Lord, you know? And if you don't see that he himself is coming to you and wants to reveal himself to you, he wants your life to be spectacular and of great purpose, not just in this world, but for eternity. He wants you to see what he sees about what's truly valuable. And then he wants you to give your heart and the gifts you've given to what he's building so that your life can be fruitful. You know, and fruit that he said will last for all eternity.
Amen.
I mean, it's just, it's such a precious, precious gift, but you don't know it until you really give your heart to him and get serious with him and start talking to him every day and listening to his word and living with him, you know? So,
folks, you are tuned into Ignite Radio Live with Greg and Stephanie Schlieter. So blessed to have our brother, Peter Herbeck, prolific author, speaker, movement leader, Renewal Ministries. We're directing you to Fire on the Earth, his daily Monday through Friday, 15 minutes. You can find it. Check it out, Fire on the Earth. Last week spoke of prophecies that are very impactful. We took one up already talking about Father Mike Scanlon's prophecy in 1976, which is really articulating from the heart of the Father in heaven. These are all resonating, by the way, and another indicator is just that when you see the resonance of different people who are close to God kind of saying similar things. Very blessed to have Peter share with us his own story coming from a family that was essentially, you know, Pope Benedict would call it practically atheist. Doesn't matter if you go to church or, you know, or catechized, if you will, if it's just the rest of your life looks like anybody else without the vitality. And I asked Peter, you know, when did you start praying? He's just sharing with us. Really, it was the encounter moment that followed the witness. Now follow this, the witness of his eldest sister, Kathy. So I have two questions here. One is more rhetorical. What if your elder sister, Kathy, one, hadn't availed herself to the group that she went to, but the bigger thing is, had not brought it back to your family? What if Kathy had not brought to the Herbeck family in Minnesota this testimony of who Christ is and what he desires for us? Where would your life on that parallel universe, parallel track be today versus then? Secondly, it just begs this question. Which of us right now, if we pray with the heart of God for our marriage and our family, have a word? We've got a word. God, it's burning within us, right? We're bringing it to God. And, you know, we're meant to speak. And by the way, it's not going to be comfortable. I can't imagine Kathy said, you know, this is just going to be easygoing, smooth. I'm going to say it like I'm going to come in and say, let's watch a movie tonight. No, there had to have been some degree. I'd like to ask Kathy this, but, you know, all of us have experienced this to some extent, maybe. What was the trepidation? What did she need to overcome? And Stephanie, you kind of evoke this with regard to prayer, the posture. She had to, in her heart and mind, say, God is in my heart. I have to initiate this to my family. So again, I want to ask the question, and maybe Peter guide us in this. Those of us who are listening and have had this powerful experience and are questioning, guide us in if you will, sharing a personal, the kerygma, the core, is the seed of the core of the gospel. Guide us in leaning into that with those to whom God guides us to lean into that could have a life-changing impact the way Kathy's did in sharing with you.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I've thought many times that, where would we have been without it, you know, without that moment? And, you know, this, the message of Jesus is alive. He's risen. He's the Lord. He comes to save us from our sins, to give us a new life. He's the only one who can do it. He's here. He loves us. He's dead serious about it. It's the best thing we could ever have. You know, that kind of communication, when it came, there was just grace to receive it. I mean, we just did. But one of the things that happened was it birthed a conversation, because my dad ended up getting healed in the next year, got sober for the first time, and our family life began to change.
Wow.
We started, Jesus was in the conversation. You know, he never was before. It wasn't that people didn't believe in him or, like, opposed it. It was just, like, neutral or inert in some way, you know? And all of a sudden, we were living with a living God because we encountered a living God. And we still did the things we love to do when we came together, you know, watch ball games, play games, you know, card games, you know, just have great meals together and holidays. And it was always part of our life. But the most important thing that began to emerge, nobody organized it. It just started happening. We would stay up late till late at night just talking about what's the Lord doing in your life. We'd laugh, we'd pray, we'd cry. We just had conversations that we never had before. And that's because we were not just living a religion, following certain rules and commandments and rituals. We were living with a person, and he was saving us, you know, and he was leading us. And so, you know, I'm thankful to my sisters. And then my older brother, he ended up coming back to the church and others and started opening our hearts to each other and learning from each other. And,
Yeah, and we'd pray, we'd read some scripture together. And then the other thing was the grandkids started sitting in on these conversations, just kind of showing up in the room, you know, not like we organized it or anything like that. And they'd just be sitting there and they start absorbing it. And they start growing up now in a different atmosphere, you know, an atmosphere that recognizes the presence of Christ, you know, and that he's here for us. And this is the best gift we have, you know. So I think that was, I just don't think that would have happened without, for sure it wouldn't have happened without some help from God. But my mom was a woman of great faith, daily rosary, scripture. My dad was a good man. He's dedicated to serving the schools and the church and, you know, using his gifts and skills for good stuff. He's a good man. But he needed freedom and healing and to know the Lord himself in a way that he never knew him before, you know? And so, I think that the power of the kerygma, the basic message of this person, who he is and what he's come to give us and that we all need it, is something that is quite simple, actually. But it's not something that people understand or communicate very freely. And I think it's one of the things the Holy Spirit's retrieving, you might say, an awakening in the life of the church. And you can't face the crises where you started with the prophetic word about our time and where we're going. You can't face it with peace and with the right vision without the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world and you're with me and you're in me. I know you don't have to be afraid of anything. I will lead you through. Don't worry, you know, to your destination. And then there's a maturing that happens when you trust the Lord. It starts to give you freedom and peace and courage and grace, and you're not afraid of trials and tribulations. And that's where I think we are right now. And without that relationship and daily prayer and strengthening of the Holy Spirit and the community, not only our own organic families, but other families of families coming together and saying, yeah, we got some trouble here. But so have many of our brothers and sisters over 2,000 years. And the solution is Christ at the center, us together. Right. And I have this image. They do four back to postures. You know, what do we need to do? First, we need to bow down, you know, in humility before God. Jesus, I trust in you. Guide my steps now. I believe in you. Help me, Lord. You know, then stand up. Stand on the word of God. Stand up confidently, knowing he's put you here at this time for a purpose. Every one of us. Okay. Bow down, stand up, and then come together as a body of believers, pray together, serve together, you know, care for each other, you know, share the gospel with other people, you know, bow down, stand up, come together and reach out, you know, reach out to people. This is when people need it most. There's a lot of scared, depressed, confused people in our culture right now, post COVID. And they need what God has given us. Peter, so it's time to move in confidence. Go ahead.
I love everything that you're saying. And I think what's most maybe impactful to me and hopefully our listeners are, is just you painted a picture of what that looks like with your own family, from your own history, your own challenges, because I suspect many hearing you speak may be thinking, I can't even imagine that with my own family, whether it be their siblings at our age coming together and frequently probably now, or with their own children. But you kind of communicated a sense of really the supply of our deepest poverty, the supply of our deepest need. And often it just takes somebody to initiate it, right? Somebody to ask the right question that moves Jesus from like that guy who's in the room, but he's in the back and we haven't really given him attention, to saying, you know, I want to put you on the spot and bring him forward. It's been my experience. It's been my experience in a group of anybody that if you ask the right question, you find that people's hearts have been pining for it. And it's that vitality of dealing with things meaningful as he connects with our lives and as we've seen him transforming us. And, you know, even the laughter of, you know, sorry, with some guys, you get some colorful language, but they're being real about their encounter with God and their struggles in their marriage and family. But God is the welcome guest. Christ is the welcome guest in those moments. And I am so moved when that conversation happens and when it's real. And I might say this, Peter, maybe you could say a word about this also. And this is sort of like that, you know, new evangelization thing that we may run the risk, those of us who've been in ministry, of this all being reduced to cliche, right? Oh, here he goes again. He's asking that pad question, that pad answer, and he's always kind of doing this. I think God wants to offer those who've been in ministry. He wants to affirm those who've been in ministry, but he wants to awaken us to the freshness, the vitality, the authenticity of that first love, if you will. Maybe even to have a season, as we're talking about prayer, of, and I'm saying this is to me, words that have been given to me of late, of we're inclined to want to witness and evangelize, great, wonderful, good, be ready for God, but take the time and be loved again. Take the time and experience the Father's love being poured out in your life, not be for something you can write about or put on Facebook or really even necessarily talk to somebody. But for some people listening right now, I think the Lord is saying, let me renew my love in your life, your awareness of my love in your life for just you. For just you to experience my healing, to experience my strengthening, my renewing, my restoring. And I want to say, without which many are in scaffolding. You know, they're in ministry, they're frustrated, they're, you know, working through designs and the next program and the next program, and they're spinning wheels. And God will bring them to that point again of evangelizing if it's an overflow of the intimacy in that encounter. You have thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's true. The heart of the matter is the relationship that we're being invited into, and that relationship, as we pursue it, goes deeper and deeper and deeper throughout our life. You know, there's, and the Lord's leading it. He's discipling us. He's going to purify us. He's going to help us see more deeply who we are. He's going to give us graces to go deeper. He's going to reveal more of himself, his own beauty and majesty, which he's really the answer to the longing of the human heart. Mm-hmm. And so deeper love, deeper desire, finding new things in him. I mean, I'm 65, and honestly, I feel as much freshness in relationship with the Lord and being in community and desiring and hungering for more of him than I ever have in my life, you know?
Awesome.
And that's his grace.
Amen.
It's not like, hey, Herbeck has got, or either Herbeck's got nothing else to do, or, you know, he's just oriented that way. That's not true. He's the fascination of my life. This, and he is meant to be that for everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And that means as we pursue him, he's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure hidden in the field. He's the great value. He's the one who tells us who we are and helps us understand our own dignity, our own value, and our own destiny. And as we get convinced of it over time, our life is fruitful, and the life in God is filled with passion and joy and mission and purpose, you know, not just, so I'd say, I really do. I really believe that. And I've experienced it in my own life, and it's there for everybody. Find a good saint and follow a saint too. I mean, they show us
so true
what's possible. Like St. Francis, others, they show us what's possible in this life. And the communion they had with the Lord, the spiritual communion, the love, the transforming power that touched their lives is real. And it's real for us too.
Peter,
desire and pursue it.
In the time that we have left, just throwing a few words out at you, the other prophecies, what's burning on your heart that you'd like to share with our listeners that we haven't touched upon. Again, we encourage them to listen to your podcast to get the fuller version. But so the prophecies, the urgency of those, and we're in the year of revival, right? Eucharistic revival. Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, pre-air, I think, the Lord is the only one who can revive us. So maybe tie those words together, prophecy, urgency, and revival.
And I'm going to add to it as we're coming in for a landing here with that, fold it into a closing prayer, if you will, Peter.
How about that for the task at hand?
you can do it. Well, I would just say that what's thrilling to the human heart and what gives me great confidence is that the Lord has spoken to the prophets. He is giving us sneak previews of coming attractions. The Lord does desire the church to be purified, and that's what's happening. And he wants each of us then to see that and say, Lord, purify me. Mm-hmm. Purify my heart. Lord, I see you. I want to cooperate with what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I just lay my whole life before you, Lord. And then number two, the Lord's saying, I'm going to renew my church. I'm going to renew my people. I'm going to reveal my glory. And then we're going to pray, Lord, We're going to pray that you revive your church. Mm-hmm. We fast, we pray, we hunger, we thirst. Say, Lord, I give you my time, my talent, my resources. I want in. I want to be a part of what I know you're doing in our time. You know, mm-hmm. And so the church, you know, the voice of God is coming through the church and saying, you know, we're longing for a Eucharistic revival, because we see 70% of whatever of people don't even believe in the real presence of mm-hmm. Jesus, which is their central concern. And so that means they don't know Jesus. And that means they're not fully Christian. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? They're not there. They're not engaged. They're not living as disciples, and they don't know what they don't know. Like I didn't know, mm-hmm. you know, when I was 17, maybe some have strongly turned away, but most people drift away. They just drift mm-hmm. away. And so revival can only happen if God acts. We can't just declare a revival, you know, yeah, it's going to happen, right. But it's going to come from hearts that are hungry, repentant, obedient, thirsty, yeah. believing, crying out to God. That's where it comes from. And he will reveal his glory. And so I believe, good. I don't have time now, you guys don't have time to hear it all, but I felt like the Lord told me back 2016, a major mm-hmm. moment in my life when I was in Africa on mission. And he said, I'm going to reveal my glory. I'm going to reveal the emptiness of the world, the idols of the world before my church. And I'm going to reveal to my church strongholds that are binding her. I myself will deliver her. I'm the only one who can do it. I will do it for my glory. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to reveal my glory in your lifetime. And so, I mean, he already has in many ways, but I fully feel like this is the word of the Lord for the church. So, Lord, we pray. Mm-hmm. We hear your voice, Lord. We say yes to you, and we thank you that you invite us, that you draw us close to you and your mission. We believe in you. We believe your word. Lord, use us, cleanse us, empower us, place us in whatever assignment you have for us, Lord. We want to see your glory. Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, so blessed that you are with us on this journey of ever deeper encounter of the great love of God, awakening us to our identity. Think about that. He doesn't just ask us as slaves to go and do tasks for him. It's not so much him wanting to be with us in it. He wants to be in us with it. He wants to inhabit our hearts and our minds, and we got to open that door and be mindful of the stuff that's been competing for him, and just be, where is it leading us, right? Where is though, have those allegiances and things, are they really fulfilling us? And right now he's saying, surrender the lesser for the greater. Trust in me. Posture yourself in a place to receive that outpouring of grace. Make the time with belief, with conviction, and break through, if you will, that initial few moments of prayer where you're just, you know, agitated or thinking about the next thing in your phone or wherever you need to be. Break through that. Wait for that until the Lord. Be still and know that I'm God. Wait till he just manifest. He will. He'll come upon you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you a sense of his presence. And it'll be the kind of appointment and connection that will be irreplaceable. That's, if you will, my word as we conclude here on Ignite Radio Live as we continue this journey. Again, join us. Bring your family together in a regular way. ilovemyfamily.us. And join us November 4th for our Sanctus Eucharistic Family Revival with the Friars of the Renewal. So excited about that. CatholicRevival.us. Go to CatholicRevival.us. And Peter, you and Ralph, we're so blessed by you. Sister Anne, we're so grateful and blessed by you and your entire team. We just pray for the magnification of the prayers of the saints in heaven, for the great work you're doing, and all of us privileged to be united with you in this field of souls. Brothers and sisters, until next time, God bless you. God, I'm still counting my blessings. I can't count that high.